Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Get it. The Bird Show.
One of our producers, Jackson, wants to talk about Asian fetishes. FYI, he's Asian.
This is true.
Wait, you are?
Surprise, surprise.
No, you said you came across this reel and that there is a fetishization of Asian men, especially Korean men.
Specifically Koreans. So this is actually a reel that someone DM'd me on Instagram. And so this is from at Kyla Yu.
Really quick, I am so sorry to interrupt you. This is very important. But you and Abby have been on the same brown sweatshirt.
We've noticed this.
Every time you guys wear like your tannish brown, like beige sweatshirt, you're both wearing it on the same day.
But here's the thing. He wears this sweatshirt every day. Because we were matching last week and I was like, oh my God, look, we're twins. Like, we're both like neutral queens. And I've noticed that he just wears it every day.
I rotate through about three hoodies throughout the week. Yeah. And so today was beige hoodie day.
And I also have hoodies that I rotate through, and today is beige hoodie day. But I feel like you also had that one on yesterday.
No, I had the black one on yesterday.
All I know is I feel like this has happened at minimum three times.
Well, this is the second time it's happened, okay, for sure.
It's felt like more. And that's why I wasn't able going to be able to focus on what you said unless I addressed the beige elephant in the room.
I'm glad we covered that.
Okay, now on to Asian fetishization.
Yes, so this is from at Kyla Yu. This was DM'd to me, and she's basically just talking about how Asian men, specifically Koreans, have been sort of fetishized lately within the last probably 5 to 10 years.
Fetishization of Korean men. Women are flocking to South Korea for Korean men. In 2005, just 2.3 million men traveled to South Korea. By 2019, this had ballooned to 10 million. Compare this to the just 6.7 million men who visit South Korea. Because of K-pop and K-drama, Asian men are now experiencing idolization and fetishization. Korean dramas in particular feature men who are romantic, sweet, kind, and in touch with their emotions, compared to the sometimes sex-obsessed men of other countries. Many of these women are traveling to South Korea for romance. They are searching for what's called soft masculinity, and although they come from everywhere, North America, Russia, European countries, they're usually straight women in their mid to early 20s. This is an interesting phenomenon that's developed in the last decade. I think it's super different from the East Asian female fetish, which is sexual in nature. These women who are traveling to Korea are looking for romance, not for sex. I personally just don't believe women fetishize men in the same way that men fetishize and objectify women.
So I have some mixed feelings about this.
And who submitted this again? Who's the reel from?
This is from at Kyla Yu.
Okay.
On Instagram. And this is super interesting to me because it's just so different than how Asians and specifically Koreans have been viewed since I was a kid. When I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of Western media attention on Asians. You didn't see them playing a lot of major roles in movies and TV shows. Music wasn't super popular. And so it hasn't been, you know, we were always kind of seen as like docile, a little bit more submissive, nerdy, like never sort of like the main character in a lot of things. Whereas now there's a lot more movies that have been coming out with a lot more Asian representation, but it goes even beyond that, where it's actually Korea's cultural, you know, people themselves are actually becoming a lot more popular. You heard her talk about K-dramas and K-pop. Those have just absolutely skyrocketed in popularity lately, and that's caused this huge wave of, you know, additional exposure. And so it's really interesting because on top of that, Korea actually exports, like their culture is considered an export. They spend billions of dollars every year promoting these kinds of things to get out to the world to make money. Whereas a lot of times you hear about countries exporting oil and crops and whatever other, you know, raw material type things. Whereas Korea, a major export of theirs is actually their own culture.
So for you, is this a good thing, or is fetishization a good thing or a bad thing? Because I mean, it is like popularity is a good thing and exposure is a good thing and representation is a good thing. But where's the line?
Yeah, like fetishization has sort of negative connotations to it. And we've had this debate on the show of like, what's the difference between fetishizing and preference, right? And so to me, when it comes to fetishization, that means that you are pursuing someone solely based on a physical attribute. And that is the only thing that you see them for. That is a requirement for you. Whereas a preference is a little bit different because that's something that you can prefer a certain, you know, race, you can prefer a certain look, but that is not the end all be all. You still are looking at them at the individual level.
So if women, though, are going because they like Korean men for their supposed soft masculinity, and that's something they're in search of, and it's not necessarily a race-related thing, but it's more a cultural thing, is that kind of like that fetishization, or is it cultural appreciation?
It's a little bit of cultural appreciation, but the thing is
appreciation or appropriation? We're talking about appreciation?
Well, I'm asking if it's like appropriate. It's not really appropriation, but like, are they just appreciating that in the Korean culture, maybe men are a little more feminine, and that's what they are actually, I won't say feminine, but like they're looking for that in a relationship and a romance because maybe the toxic masculinity isn't doing it. And if they know that Korean men have that, is it a fetish? Because it's not physical, but it still is an assumed stereotype.
Honestly, I think that it's a little silly because they're going after this romanticized view of what they think these men are. Mm. They're looking at the characters that they're portraying, especially in these K-dramas, and are looking for that. And I don't know, like going to any country based on what their media represents, like their people, it just doesn't super make sense to me. You're looking for a fantasy, right? And going back to your point about like how I feel about this, it's twofold. On one hand, I'm appreciative of the fact that we're being put on the map. More people are, you know, in tune with other cultures outside of their own. And I really like that. But then it's kind of taken this extra step where there's this subset of people that become overly and hyper obsessed with the culture, and then that doesn't really sit super right with me
because they're believing in a fantasy almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jersey Shore did for Jersey, because you know people saw that and they wanted, you know, to gym tan laundry, and they wanted to, that's the men they were looking for. I am totally kidding, by the way.
I was like how am I gonna help her make this cognitive leap, I'm like it's not even remotely close.
The Bird Show.
Because it is Pride Month, and happy Pride to all of those out there celebrating, we wanted to try something new, which is called Phone a Drag Queen.
Can you feel the love?
I met the lovely Queen Faraz when I actually hired her to come surprise our social media producer, Rebecca, at her F Cancer party. And you were such a light and did such a fabulous job at that party.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. We got lit. We had a good time.
Energy was through the roof.
Right? Yes. Yeah, Mo was there. Cassie was there. Abby was there. Obviously, Rebecca, the guest of honor, was there. And we were cracking up because, you know, you came. And Rebecca, she loves drag queens. She loves drag shows. So it felt very fitting to have a drag performer at her party. And you came out and you crushed it. But what I love so much is that you and Rebecca ended up having this heart to heart in the middle of the party. And like Rebecca was like just celebrating cool as a cucumber. But that moment between her and Queen Faraz, like something happened. And those were like the only like tears, happy tears, but the only tears of the party.
Yes. I mean, this is my thing. People don't understand that drag is more than just playing dress up. Mm-hmm. And me being somebody who has gay kids and spreads a lot of love, I believe that, you know, anytime I get to interact with somebody, I should always take that moment to love on them in a way that only I can. That's individual to me. So I got to have that moment with her. And yeah, it made her cry, but I feel like it was a very healing moment. Mm-hmm. And if I can affect just one person, I was told that as a child, then I'm doing my job.
Amen.
Right? All right, so Queen Faraz is in, but we want to get to these questions because we've asked our Burt Show fam, do you have any questions for a drag queen, or do you need any advice from a drag queen? It's kind of like what we do with our free therapy Thursday. We're just substituting therapist with drag queen, because I bet you do feel like a therapist at times.
All the time. I mean, drag is therapy, it's healing, it's freedom. So yeah.
All right, so Queen, SNS gel nails or acrylics? Which nails stay on better?
Well, we all know that S&S stays on better as I talk to you right now with no nails on. Don't clock it. Don't try it. But gel nails look the best because gel nails, honestly, they look better, but S&S is the best because they're going to stay on long term. But it's crazy that y'all asked me that because I am a press-on girl.
Are you?
I love press-ons. I think that we are spending too much money, but I'm going to say this. I think a lot of times if you get you some cool press-ons, put them on. There are a lot of great styles out there, and you file your nails before you put them on. It's just like getting a stick. I've had some stay on for like 2 weeks.
Really?
Yes.
Is there a brand that you prefer?
I'm going to tell you a secret, okay, but this is going to be like a little in right now. Sheen, they have the best designer nails.
Really?
Don't sleep. And they're very cheap. They're like, and I'll tell you something. I'm not one of those girls that believe in spending a whole bunch of money to look pretty. So like, I will get some $5, $3 nails from them and file them. The first pair that I got were like fully rhinestone for $7.
Really?
Yeah, and they fit my nails perfectly, and I had extra, and they stayed on for a whole 2 weeks.
All right, well, that's a fabulous tip. Our next question, what's your go-to read when somebody is annoying you?
Well, I have two. I'm getting annoyed a lot. The first one is, if you minding my business, then who minding yours?
Come on now.
Okay. Uh-huh. If you want to clear somebody, just do that. And the second one is a setup on a punchline for duct tape. And they'll like say something to me like trying to be shady. And I'll be like, you know what? That read was just about as tragic as, and I'll insert something. So, and I'm a very, like, I'm a Rolodex. So I'll say, that read is just about as, you know, witty as your face right now. Maybe they had a pimple day. Or, you know, it's a way to set something up, you know, and get people up under their skin. Like, it's just about as pathetic as your voice. Maybe they have a voice that they don't really enunciate. And that's a way to get somebody without being too personal, but make them, like, leave you alone.
Gotcha. Another one that came from our Burt Show fam. Hello, my partner isn't out yet. Should I encourage him to come out or should I mind my business? I obviously want to celebrate Pride with him, but I don't want to pressure him. What do you think, Queen?
I think that first, your partner's business is always your business. Don't feel bad about that. Second, I will say this. A lot of times when we're dealing with our partners, we're afraid to open up and go there with them. But sometimes if you're feeling like they're having an issue like coming out, don't ever pressure them. But there's ways to remind them how y'all got to this point. So what I mean by that is to celebrate Pride, be more personal. Do something like show up in some rainbow underwear, or maybe y'all had a meal that you loved. Cook that meal to remind them how y'all got to this point in your relationship. And that may take them to a place and make them feel more comfortable to come forward. And as far as celebrating, don't feel so the need to take them out to celebrate. Mm-hmm. Celebrate on the inside. Watch a movie. You know, show them your favorite Pride anthems if they don't have any. This is ways to encourage people to be more prideful and love themselves without being pushy or annoying.
I think that's beautiful because you just need to make them feel like you need to love on them so that they themselves can then love themselves enough to get to that point where they're ready to share who they authentically are.
Boom.
Next, I'm trying to get into makeup, and who better to ask tips than a drag queen? What's the one thing that you have in your makeup kit?
First, if you want to get into makeup, look up the type of makeup that you want to do. Because for me, I lean more when I think about my drag, I think about leaning more into the strong women that inspire me, like my mom and other beautiful women. So I looked into female impersonation more and being more soft and feminine because I live for that.
Gotcha.
You know, but there are other types of makeup, like artsy makeup, that I do sometimes, which is more colorful and bold. And I think if you research what you want to do, you have no choice but to be amazing at it. And the two things you should keep, I'm going to say three. I'm a drag queen, so I always got to be extra. You can't, if you're going to do makeup, do it, honey.
I know there's products you have to absolutely love.
Yes. So first, a concealer. Keep amazing concealer. It's the easy way to just cover up quick imperfections. Maybe you're not feeling as fresh today. Put you on some concealer. Also, a press powder. And this works for male and female. A press powder is going to help set that concealer all day for all day wear. And you got to have a setting spray because you you don't want to walk out looking powdery fresh.
Right. Setting spray, if that's one staple in my makeup bag, it's my setting spray. And I use the Urban Decay All Nighter.
Love it.
Oh, it's so good. It's like, it's the best.
I believe.
Just trust.
I trust you.
We'll let you try it. We promise.
When I say that those three makeup things are for male and female, the reason I say that is I have a friend, and I'm not going to put his name out there, but he knows. Shout out to him. He was an athlete that had like really weird skin, and he had like under eye darkness, and those are the three things I put him onto.
Okay.
And he keeps them. And nobody knows he's wearing makeup. So when I say this, I'm not just talking about the people that want to be beat down like me. I'm talking about the people that just want to cover up some stuff. Maybe you're not having the best day. You want to feel like men can feel comfortable in makeup and it has nothing to do with sexuality.
I love it. Yeah. All right. What's the best lip sync song? Because I know you busted out some Whitney Houston and you crushed it.
And you know what? Thanks. I was going to say that. It's crazy that you said that. So I'm always going to. I have two.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, I'm extra. I'm a drag queen. Can never just give one answer. And I am telling you, from Dreamgirls, if you have not, in the Jennifer Hudson version, I love Jennifer Holliday, but Jennifer Hudson just does something for me. She's so powerful. And also, Whitney Houston, I Want to Dance with Somebody. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. When you hear Whitney's voice, it's going to heal you and touch you. So those are my two favorites.
You did not pick an easy two at all.
Because you got to have energy to do those.
Thanks.
Yeah, you did. And you did. Oh, my God. And see, the good news is you don't have to sing like Whitney because you're not actually putting your voice out there.
Mm-hmm.
You just gotta know the words.
That energy.
All right, so what do you do? All right, and we're going back to a little bit more of a serious one for Pride Month. What do you do when you come out and your family doesn't accept you? Will I ever be able to change their mind?
I've had a similar struggle. Even though my family, I will say, my family is not like a lot of other families. My family is very forthcoming with who I am. They love me. They support me. And I came from brothers, and y'all know how hard that is. yes. But my brothers love me. It took them a little minute, but they love me. I said this: what your family thinks about you is none of your business. Well, what anyone thinks of you is none of your business. Sometimes we focus too hard on people pleasing. Be who you are unapologetically. Your happiness matters. Sometimes we focus so hard on people pleasing, we completely forget about our own peace. All you can do is love, live, and learn. If it's meant for your biological family to be a part of your journey, they will be. But in the meantime, don't be afraid to build your own family. I have my chosen family, my kids, and my gay mom, sisters, etc. They really support me and love me. I'm not saying it won't be hard, but family is family, and real family may disagree with the things you do, but they never abandon you.
Oh, that's beautiful, Queen. All right, so Queen Faraz, what shows do you have coming up, or how can people book you for their events?
First, all social medias, Queen, that's Q-W-E-E-N underscore F-A-R-R-A-Z-Z. I handle the majority of my bookings, so you can just reach out to me and I will be available. But also, I'm on Drag Queen Book. Booking.com. That's how I met you.
Yeah.
So I also do corporate gigs. So if you have a big event coming up, look it up. And if you, also, key fact, if you look up Atlanta Drag Queen on Google, I'm the first girl to come
on. Okay.
So I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but boom, that's that. And I have music coming out.
You do?
Come on, what?
You know, I'm a live singer and a rapper. I wanted to put out things for Pride Month. It's crazy that this happened. It happened at the perfect time. I believe in, you know, divine, you know.
Oh,
plan.
This is kismet, baby.
Yes, honey. I have three Pride songs coming out this month. So stay tuned.
Pride bars? I'm here for it.
Yes, rapping and singing.
Come on,
you know,
man.
I do both.
Queen Faraz, thank you so much for joining us, and happy Pride.
Happy Pride, and thank y'all for having me.
Hey, The Bird Show. Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
So the days of taking a lady out and paying for the date and then going your separate ways are apparently now over. That is no longer enough. This lady is introducing a new element to dating, and it's called post-date and pre-date
expenses.
Okay, so I just got into my car after going on a date, right? And let me just tell you something. I don't know what the deal is with, like, men now, but I had told him prior that I will be having pre and post date expenses, and is that okay, and are you going to cover them? And I don't know if he wasn't listening or like what the deal was or whatever, but he, when I handed him the white envelope, he looked shocked, and then he opened it and it's receipts. Hello, pre post date expenses. Hello, like what kind of females do you be dating, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, so I handed it to him and he literally looked shocked at me and said, I can't cover this. It was $478 for pre and post date expenses. You asked me on a date, and mind you, we really didn't even have that good a conversation because he was on his phone the whole time, and I have a very strict no phone policy on dates. Hello, you're here to pay attention to me. Look at all the effort that I had to put into to going on this date, and now you have a problem with pre and post date expenses? Are you kidding?
I'm guessing that's a joke.
I didn't see satire there, but could be. You never know nowadays.
Just based on her name, which is the real scam. Doll on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that's a joke, right? That can't be real.
I have never heard of anybody doing this. Now, listen, I respect the hustle, but I think this guy dodged a bullet. $478? That's insane. And look, I typically take the sides of women when it comes to dating because it does take a lot of effort to go out on one date. Like, dudes, I know you guys are put on the line for paying for the date, but like when it comes to getting ready for a date, I gotta work out and I gotta shower and then I gotta blow dry my hair and that's an hour and then I gotta do my makeup and I messed up my contour, so now it's 45 minutes and then I get an Uber. Like, it's a whole thing just to get to the date. So look, I'm not saying there's not some struggle getting there, but I don't expect you to pay for it.
I did want to know what the breakdown was, because like obviously I'm definitely not doing this, but I was curious. I wish she would have kind of listed it out. What are the pre-date and the post-date expenses to where you get into close to $500?
Yeah, I don't care. Here's what I know based on what Abby has been telling us about a miserable dating world out there and a video like this. Here's my advice. If you're in a relationship right now, and it is really, really crappy. It hurts every day to be in it. Stay in it. It's worse out there.
It hurts more to be single, is what you're saying?
I don't care if you're miserable. It is worse out there. Just stay in it and be depressed.
Don't you dare come outside. There's nothing better.
Stay indoors.
All right, so if your kids want to be streamers and you're rolling your eyes going, really, really, this is what you want to do with your life? I spent all this money on college and you want to be a streamer? Hold on, wait till you hear how much some of these streamers are making.
Yeah, streaming is more popular than ever, and I don't think I really got a grasp of how much kids especially want to be streamers when I remember at the last job that I had, I did this volunteering event where we were hanging out with a bunch of kids, and one of the questions that we were asking them was like, what are your career goals? And like, I kid you not, 80 to 90% of them said some sort of YouTuber or streamer.
Wow. Yeah.
I remember years ago, watching my son watch streamers play video games, and he wasn't watching. I mean, he wasn't playing. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? You're not even playing the game. And he's like, do you play for the Chargers every Sunday, but you watch those games?
Oh,
and I'm like, I'm going to leave now.
That's a very bad point. So is streaming strictly just for those in the gaming world? Like, you have to play a video game to stream?
Not at all. I mean, I think the most popular category on Twitch right now is a category called just chatting. And so that's where people, like, they will stream for 8 hours. They'll play some games throughout. They'll just talk to their chat throughout. It just varies on what they do from the day to day.
That's what I never understood. So for like streamers who are streaming for 8 to 12 hours straight, what the hell are you doing for all that time? I don't understand it. I've heard people even sleep sometime and they'll watch.
There are sleep streams. That's a thing that exists.
That's
and
creepy.
They'll just sleep together.
No, so it'll just be a person sleeping, and then they'll have like alerts where if someone donates $5, it'll play like a really loud noise and wake them up, or like a bright light will flash on them. So there's all these sort of creative ways that these streamers have gotten together to make more money.
This is outside of that for just one second, but my son, who has a long distance relationship with a girl out in California, they stay on the phone with each other all night while they're sleeping.
I used to do that when I was in high school.
For what?
All night long?
Wait, yeah.
Like, you fall asleep on
the
phone?
I'm like, well, first of all, I'm not paying for the bill. All right, so you do whatever you want. But yeah, they just fall asleep, and then one will wake the other up when he goes to school or she goes to school. They'll say good morning to each other, but they're sleeping with each other on different sides of the country, not saying anything.
I think that's kind of sweet.
I do too. You're like, you're sleeping together. My high school sweetheart, Jimmy Durham, and I was so stupid because we had two landlines. You had the house landline and then I had a landline in my room.
Oh, so your minutes weren't even unlimited.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he was paying for that, right?
I have no idea.
Thank you, Dad. But stupidly, I wanted the phone that when you picked up the handle, it lit up. So I had to shove it underneath like multiple blankets to hide the light. But I would just sit there underneath the covers with Jimmy and I would fall asleep together.
Aww. So that's why you want to encourage your kids to be streamers.
And a lot of these other like marathon streams is what they call them, where they'll stream for 24 hours, 48 hours at a time. A lot of times they'll be playing like one specific game and they won't stop until they beat it. And so there's people that'll be live for like a week straight or a month straight for some people.
I think it's great, man. I think it's great. And it's a way to make money.
Absolutely.
And it fits into your personality. Fantastic.
So there's a lot of different ways that you can make money as a streamer. The really big streamers have these massive contract deals with the streaming platforms where they have to exclusively only post on those sites. But then there's also individual donations that you get. You can have advertising partners throughout your stream itself. And then like donations that come through from your viewers that are watching you.
Can we call it a donation? It seems more like a fee.
No, so there's what they call a subscription that people can pay, and that gives you access to like different, like more exclusive emotes that you can type into the chat. I know this is all like a completely foreign thing, but if you want to donate yourself, you can just send them money with a little message, and people do that because then their message gets shown on stream for everyone to see.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I think it's a great industry, man.
Right. So I put a list together of some of like the top amounts of money that they make on certain parts of how they actually earn a revenue. So first one.
Let's do it this way. Okay. You describe what the stream is. And are these what they're making annually or what they have made total?
So we'll do three different ones. The first one is just what is the largest single donation that a streamer has gotten?
Wow.
Okay. Wow.
Single donation.
$10,000.
Okay. I'll give you a hint. It was for a charity stream. So maybe think, yeah.
Okay. I'll go $100,000. No, I'm going to go higher than that. $250,000.
I was thinking way higher than that. I'm going $5 million.
$5 million.
$5 million.
I'll go $500,000.
I'm going $20,000.
$1 million.
What?
Dang.
I figured it was a million.
That was a streamer, Dr. Lupo. I remember I was actually live during this when this happened and watching this, and he was doing a stream for St. Jude, and Twitch themselves actually submitted a $1 million donation, wow, matching his original goal of $1 million.
Wow.
And then the second place one was actually a streamer by the name of Ninja, and he got a $100,000 anonymous single donation, and that was also for a charity stream. So this next category now is, back in 2020 in October, there was a massive leak from Twitch, and it was kind of a mystery of how much these people were making on an annual basis. You can make estimates, but it was really hard to say. But this leak actually exposed what these top streamers were making, like to the cent amount, from August 2019 through October of 2020. So what do you guys think was the combined revenue of the top three streamers for that time period? And this is only from subscriptions and ad revenue. This does not include their contracts.
And this is combining the top three?
Yes.
I'll go top three. I'll go $20 million.
That's what, $25 million.
I'm going to go $50 million.
$30 million.
I'm going $150.
$150 million?
Yeah.
So again, this is not including their actual contract amounts. It was $24 million. The number one person, Critical Role, had $9.6 million, then XQC $8.4 million, and then Summit 1G with $5.8 million.
Hayden is obsessed with Critical Role. Obsessed with it.
He's massively popular.
And what does he do?
I know that he does a lot of like D&D streams, and people eat that up. And so those were actual numbers that leaked. And so now we have the last one, which is actual contract amounts. Okay. So there's been a little bit of competition in the space for actual platforms. This new one, Kick, recently came out a couple years ago that's been blowing up, and they've gotten a lot of publicity because of these massive contracts that they've been signing. So what do you think the biggest contract is that someone signed at the end of last year?
$100 million.
$100 million.
And it's a 2-year contract.
$50 million a year, you think?
That's my guess.
I'm going to say $30 million.
I'm going to say $24 million.
I'll go $35 million.
$100 million, $1.
So XQC, who's the one who was ranked second in that Twitch league, mm-hmm. he signed on to Kick for $100 million for a 2-year contract.
Damn,
he's guaranteed $35 million per year, and then there's certain quotas that he has to meet, and if he fulfills all of his obligations, then he'll make $100 million or more.
And what does this dude do?
This guy plays just a little bit of everything. He's just a character, though, so people just tune in and love him.
Huh. Unbelievable.
Personalities, man. Now also, yeah, it is. We're stunned.
I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah, man. So when your kids are saying, like, I want to be a streamer, maybe you should push him in that direction.
Give him a chance.
Thanks. It's The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
The question is he the a-hole because he wants his wife to share her food? Now, I think this is going to be one of those instances where you can get... Or you can feel like, no, this is who I am. You have to accept me for who I am. He has a love language. She has a different love language. So now we're going to have to find a compromise. So even though it sounds like something small and trivial, like sharing food, I think that could be, it could turn into something bigger if you don't address it. You know what I mean?
I do.
I most got the email.
Hey, Burt Show. I need you to settle a point of contention between me and my wife. I love my wife. And have no issue sharing any food item with her, whether she asks or not. She could literally take the food out of my hand, and it wouldn't bother me.
Couldn't be me.
You ain't taking nothing out of my hand.
I'm gonna fight you.
My wife, in the meantime, completely loses it when I eat her leftovers or items that have been sitting in the fridge for days without asking her.
Hi, it's me. I'm the problem.
She says it's a matter of respect. And I say it's a matter of love. So, am I the a-hole because I feel like sharing food is just an expression of love and comfort? The hungry husband.
So, I am that person that I unlike Burt, who's like, for the longest time, he's said food is just to give him energy, gets him from A to B. There isn't a lot of enjoyment there. I get excessive enjoyment from good food. Like, I love good food. I love good restaurant experiences. So if I'm going somewhere, I'm getting something specific. For instance, if I'm going to our favorite Mexican restaurant, Taxco, I'm getting the enchiladas verdes with chicken and two sides of rice. So I can make this a two-parter. I'm going to have one for dinner and then I'm going to have one for lunch, right? Uh-huh. Don't mess with my green sauce, okay? So if I come home, and I think about this, like I actually will be verbal in the car as I'm driving home and I'll be like, yeah, because I know I got leftover Mexican food in the fridge. And if I get home and it's not there, I would be livid. I would be very upset because I do feel like it's a lack of respect because that's the food I ordered. That's the food I want. And if you see leftovers... You just ask if you could have them. So to the hungry husband, you both have different expressions of love, okay? I'm trying to find a compromise here, but I'm very much on your wife's side. I do not want you touching my leftovers because I would be upset. It seems small and trivial, but I would be upset about it.
Yeah, just because something wouldn't bother you doesn't mean that your wife isn't allowed to be bothered by it.
There you go.
So, for example, you saying she could take the food out of my hand and it wouldn't bother me. Okay, but is she? Because it would be different if your wife was going into the fridge and taking your enchiladas verdes or that lava cake that you have left over from Chili's. Because I know that thing is really good and you were excited about it and you were looking forward to eating it. But it doesn't seem like your wife is doing any of that. It just seems like you seem to have no boundaries around the things that maybe she's planning to have or the meals that she's wanting to eat later. So I think that you are completely in the wrong here. I know that you don't see it as a big deal, but to her, it probably feels like you're crossing boundaries if you're going in and eating the food that she's planning to have.
Yeah, I can't disagree with y'all. I would love to, but I can't. And it is different for me because it's the anticipation of it. Like
right.
if my lady takes some food and I have it, like we just made it, I wouldn't care. She's like, can I have some of that? I wouldn't. But that feeling of you coming home, you know something is there, it's been on your mind, and you get home and to find out that someone else ate it, Yeah, I don't see any love in that. I don't know where there's no love in that. I would be just as upset. I get where she's coming from.
Same thing. Literally just happened. I'm trying not to drink during the week. It was a long week. So I got home and I was like, I'm going to have me a glass of Sauvignon Blanc. Yeah. I opened the fridge. I look for that White Haven. And the bottle's not there.
Nah.
Exactly.
Yeah, nah.
And I turned and I knew what happened, right? But I wanted to make a point of it. So I turn around and I look at my husband. I go, hey, where's that bottle of Sauvignon Blanc? He's like, it must have disappeared.
I hate when they just walk out like that.
He's like, would you like me to go to the store and get you some more? And of course, being like a typical woman, I was like, no, I'm fine. I don't need anything. He went to the store and he came back 10 minutes later. With
okay, as he should have.
So that's what it means when wine's got legs. It just walked out and moved on.
Exactly what happened. Exactly. So real quick. I reached out to Hungry Husband to see if he would come on the air.
Oh, you did?
And I get this email back, and it's real quick. It says, hey, Tommy, I'm looking forward to hearing everyone's feedback, and although I'd like to come on the show with you, there is a catch. I am actually the wife. So is the wife that emailed us all along. She says, my husband is very analytical, and every time this comes up and we get feedback from people, we know he assumes the feedback is because they're my friends or partial to me and because I'm a woman asking women. No. So in order to once and for all get a fair response, I wanted people who don't know us to assume his perspective when discussing the issue. He isn't a listener, so my plan was to play the segment for him afterwards if you guys read it, no matter the outcome. Ooh. I'd be happy to come on with a voice disguiser afterwards if you'd like. Really don't want the cast knowing the questions coming from a female listener before they share their thoughts. Signed, not the a-hole.
Did we just get called sexist? Is the Burt Show sexist?
No, she just wanted her. She
but
wanted,
now I'm confused as to who's taking the food.
The wife.
She is. She is.
Oh, yeah.
She's the hungry wife.
But see, the husband always thinks people side with her because she's either asking other women or asking her friends.
No, sex
she
means nothing.
To ask us.
Sex means nothing when it comes to leftover Mexican food. Don't touch my food.
I always tell my wife, Renee, on her tombstone, I'm going to write, I just wanted a taste.
Yeah, not all is fair in loved and leftovers, for sure.
Get it. The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.